laughing out loud, feeling strong as she saw the world upside down, and made up poems like "Skirts and Boots Dance in the Air While Tongues and Eyes Burnt Laughter." But here, next to this river heading toward the mountains, she must express decorum or risk her brother's wrath.
"Did our mother neglect to teach you properly that your knuckles still bleed?"
Mary's brother John stood over her now, accusing. He'd come upon her, silent as sunset. She wondered if he still grieved. She squinted up at him, shaded her eyes with her hand, her bonnet having slipped behind her, resting on her back.
"How about you finish these trousers to show the little boys how it's done, and that a man can do it as well as a woman?"
He grunted.
"A good effort, sister. You're behind on your duties, and we have animals to tend to. I expect your help. Finish up."
She stood, twisted the pants to remove the water, then rubbed damp hands on her skirt.
"See? All ready."
She loved working with the oxen, scratching their big heads, feeling their velvety ears, and was happy indeed to give up scrubbing for that, even when her brother demanded it.
"Take the clothes up to the wagon and meet me at the corral. You can hold the lead while I scrape out their hooves."
She made her retort a tease.
"Maybe you'll take the rope, and 'tis meself who'll clean their feet."
She bundled the duds into her arms.
"I'm closer to the ground than you."
He grunted.
"Put your bonnet back on."
She was tempted to counter him, but instead she stayed silent and followed. Standing on her hands would have to wait for another day. Sarah Armstrong Montgomery imagined the wispy clouds above her to be threads ready to be sewn into a quilt backing as blue as bachelor buttons. If they found this balmy weather in Alta California, Sarah would stay there for life, contented as a honeybee, queen of its hive. Sarah had made a nest, leaning back against the wagon tongue, a quilt rolled up behind her as a backrest. She'd removed her bonnet as she sat in the shade, brushed strands of blonde hair away from her eyes. She'd need to stitch up a loose portion of her faded green wrapper, but she could do that tomorrow. Laughter drew her eyes to her husband, standing beside lovely Ellen Murphy. Alan Montgomery was a fine-looking man, even if he did spend more time grooming his mustache than Sarah thought necessary. But today she had no complaints. Like the rest of the Stevens-Murphy-Townsend party, comprised mostly of Irish Catholics, optimism perfumed the scene around her, and Sarah felt relieved. Relieved of the worry she'd carried with her from Missouri when she'd feared that they were heading toward trial and trouble and perhaps their deaths. She envied the Irish Catholics they traveled with. Their faith buoyed them like sticks on a stream, flowing ever toward their destination, weathering bumps and bruises while praying over beads. And the truth of it was that nothing had gone terribly wrong these past 5 months. Best of all, earlier that day, the men had met a lone Indian, and the elders, as she thought of them, old men of experience leading this company, had used sign language and drawings in the dirt to communicate. The Paiute, whom they'd named Truckee, gave them directions, advising them to follow this river they'd camped beside until they arrived at a fork with a smaller river heading west and another flowing south. There was some confusion about which way wagons would travel most easily. Earlier parties, the Bidwell Bartleson train for one, had abandoned their wagons in 1841, so avoiding their aborted trail was optimal. It was this Stevens-Murphy-Townsend party's goal to take wagons all the way to Alta, California, a foreign land south of the vast Oregon country and far north of the province's Mexican capital. Which stream they'd follow to get there, Sarah wasn't certain, but either, supposedly, would end near Sutter's Fort. The men would decide once they arrived at the river's fork. But for now, they had a plan. Travel until the decision place. A plan always comforted Sarah. She looked at her fingernails, still strong. Another good sign they'd carried with them the right foods and portions. Murphy wives and sisters snapped wet petticoats and sheets they'd rinsed at the shoreline. Children scampered with hoops.